Jalen, you and Nick are obviously big voices on the team as the head coach and the quarterback. As you enter the bye and you want to find an identity, do you two talk about maybe, you know, what you want the message to be to the team or how you kind of want to handle, you know, as you guys go into the second part of the year?
We have our moments.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. Coming up next hour, we'll talk to Ross Tucker, his take on the Eagles. 2-2 at the bye. We'll get to the MLB playoffs, which start today, by the way. And we now know it's the Phillies against either the Brewers or the Mets. What a wild game yesterday in Atlanta. The Mets winning that first one to get in the playoffs. Mets in, Braves in, no Diamondbacks. So Phillies don't have to deal with that this year. We'll get to that coming up. And what Darius Slay had, what he did yesterday. I was going to say what he had to say, but it's really what he did at this point. We'll get to all that coming up. Hugh, before we go back to the phones and listen to what Sirianni said this morning to Joe and John, we did get, yesterday was a big day, unfortunately, for huge names and big characters in the city of Philadelphia sports history that passed away. We reacted to Dikembe Mutombo yesterday. Very sad. 58 years old. He was one of my favorites when I was a kid. I loved Dikembe. And then an even bigger name in the annals of sports yesterday, Pete Rose, at the age of 83, passed away. Hugh, he has one of the most complicated legacies because I know there's so many people out there that loved him as a player, but he disgraced himself in so many ways when he wasn't playing, and it's just, look, it's sad when anyone passes away, and I know he brought a lot of people joy in this city when he helped the Phillies win the World Series, but, you know, I as time went on, and when I was young, I wanted to be a fan of his. I wanted him in the Hall of Fame. I read his book, and then as time went on, it was very hard for me to feel empathy for him. The passing, we wish his family the best, but it's just weird when someone of the stature of Pete Rose passed away because it's so complicated, his legacy.
Well, it's controversial. Because there's a lot in his past. I don't, have to go into detail, but a lot of people feel certain kind of ways about it.
Yep.
And you never want to speak ill of the dead. And that's the one thing that I am not going to do. But he was a very, very polarizing figure.
You met him before?
Yes, I have. I did an interview with him on a radio station. I think when he was in Cincinnati, I think it was my rookie year.
Okay.
Or something like that. I can't vaguely remember what we were talking about. Yeah, he was doing a show. And I got a chance to meet him. And this was during a time where I didn't know anything about all of the stuff that was going on or anything like that. Well, I had vaguely knew. I mean, I wasn't living under a rock, but as he got older and things started to come out of more stuff started to come out, it was a lot. He was a very, very complicated man. Very, very complicated.
I think that's a good way to put it. His record will probably never be broken in terms of the hit record of Major League Baseball. Obviously was a big part of the Phillies getting over the hump and winning a championship. He's one of the most famous athletes ever. And yesterday we found out he did pass away at the age of 83. Rest in peace, Pete Rose, who I know brought a lot of people joy, and then a lot of people, in a lot of ways for different reasons, angst on and off the field. We say rest in peace to Pete Rose. Let's go back to the phone lines here, and we'll bring you the full conversation with Sirianni, with Joe and John from earlier this morning. Let's go to Tony, who's in Willow Grove. Hey, Tony.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you guys doing?
Hey, Tony. What's up, buddy?
Listen, man, I hate to say it, but I got to agree with you, Joe. First of all, man, I think if the relationship between the quarterback and the coach is fractured and it's spilled over into this season, you got to cut the cord. You got to just get rid of it, man. You got to just understand that if you want to keep Jalen, maybe Belichick is the answer, maybe he's not, but you have to get Sirianni out of here if they're going at it back and forth and there's no mutual respect for each other. How do you expect Jalen to go out and execute what he's supposed to do and be held accountable for somebody he doesn't respect?
Tony, I agree. I mean, there's some worry about trying to not ruin this season. I'm worried about ruining the quarterback. Like, I got to save my investment in the quarterback. The Eagles are going to go the next 2 or 3 years as Hurts goes, and I don't know if it's going to work with Sirianni.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. That's why I agree with you. And another thing, too, like, Belichick, I mean, he's won. He's proven. And if he can come in here and get the respect of Jalen, and then we can really see what we really got. Now, if we can get a quarterback, a coach of that stature, or him or anybody else, and they come in here and Jalen still's not performing or living up to his expectations, then we know what the next move is. We got to get a quarterback. But again, I agree with you as far as the easier fix is to get rid of Sirianni. He just doesn't. I don't see what he does besides being a pom pom holder. You get the morale on the team, but you got guys on podcasts talking trash about other teammates and stuff like that. That stuff is not acceptable. And you, as a coach, supposed to let that be known from day one. So that being said, if you want to go any further, well, all this talent that we got on this team, get somebody in here that can be respected and somebody that's going to actually see what's the problem and try to have a plan how to fix it. And I don't think Sirianni has a plan. I really just don't. He's not a good play caller. I just don't see what he does. He's probably a nice guy, and I think he's a character. But I don't want him as my head coach. And if Jalen doesn't perform after this year, you got to start looking for another quarterback.
Tony, this has nothing to do with you. But I've heard a lot of people the last couple of days have called in, especially when it comes to firing Coach Sirianni and talking about we need to move on because him and Jalen don't get along. That's not normal behavior in life. And I don't know why people think that it's like that in football. I know that there's money involved, and you talk about how much money somebody's made and everything like that, but that's not how it works in life. And we need to stop acting like that's how it works in football. Coach Sirianni and Jalen, for whatever reason, they didn't get along last year. We kind of feel like that was the case. For whatever reason, the boss and the CEO, let's talk about it like that. Let's take football out of it. Let's talk about real world analogies. The head, the boss, the guy that runs the company, hired this guy to the CEO. He hired him to do this job. He's okay with the job that he's done. The coworkers, the workers that work for him, were hired because he feels like they are the best players for this job. They have to figure out how to make it work, because the head guy, the guy that signs the checks, decided on the coach. And he decided on the quarterback. And for whatever reason, they have to figure it out. So, Jalen, you see what I'm saying, Tony? So
yes, I do. And he's accountable, too.
And Jalen has to be accountable.
I agree.
We have to stop acting like Jalen has no skin in the game.
So, I agree. And Tony, it's a good phone call. And, Hugh, I agree. Jalen's a part of this. I wonder if you have to separate the two so you figure out what the real problem is. Like, it's easier to fire the coach. Right? We agree on that? The coach is small potatoes. The quarterback is cap situation. You got to get another quarterback. If this season plays out bad, let's just play it out. They go 7-10. And Jalen's only okay. And Sirianni's not the worst coach, but he's not getting anywhere. Then what do you do after the season? You don't know, is Jalen going bad because Sirianni and him are in a toxic relationship, or is Jalen just going bad?
Can we have this tough conversation right now, Joe? Because I think that there's enough sampling in four games that it's okay to say this. And I know a lot of people are going to get mad, but it's okay to say this. When we think of quarterbacks for the last 2 weeks, and I'm going back, Rhea, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm thinking about some of the texts that Rhea sent me in the last 2 weeks. Jalen, we got the game against the Saints. We got it. But if you're being honest about yourself on that last drive, who thought, honestly, that we were going to win that game?
Yeah, very few people.
Very few people, right?
Yeah.
Because if you're being honest with yourself, you were concerned about what the quarterback was going to do. You were concerned about what the quarterback was going to do. Last week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, we're down a lot of players. We knew that we were in a bad spot, but we were expecting the quarterback to rise to the occasion and make average players special. He didn't do that.
I agree.
He did not do that. What do we do? Think about this. 2 minutes left on the clock. If Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, hell, Russell Wilson, any of those guys out there, what are you thinking? That's too much time.
Oh, in their prime, yeah.
In their prime. Jalen's not that guy. That's the reality that we have to face, people.
I agree.
Jalen is not that guy.
So I agree with you on this, and that is his own issue. And I how they solved that, I don't know. I mean, if Jalen keeps playing like this, they're going to draft a quarterback after the season. They are. They, in 2019, Wentz was very up and down, very average. They drafted Jalen Hurts. We are in 2019 Wentz in terms of Wentz watch. That's where we're at. Mm-hmm. Jalen is in 2019 Wentz, you know, world. If he doesn't play better, they're going to draft a quarterback, and then away we go. And Hugh, you're right. But I feel like every time this comes up, it's like an excuse for Sirianni. How does he help the situation?
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not saying it's his fault Jalen is going backwards.
I know it's not, but
I just feel like we feel bad for Nick. I just want the team to win, and I don't think Nick helps.
This is what I'm trying to say. Jalen needs to, and I don't know if this is the case or not. This is me speculating, because that's what we do.
A little
reckless speculation.
On a Tuesday?
Jalen needs to realize that he might not be that dude. He might not be. Because we're talking about, think about those couple of weeks, and I just want you to think. Don't get mad at me for what I'm saying. Just think about what I'm saying. Jalen has had two instances where he's tried to put himself in position to make plays where he's fumbled the ball. When he pulled it down last week, the one that we most recently remember, He what'd you say? He put him in the phantom zone. He thought the blocker
shadow realm.
He put him in the shadow realm.
And he came right back out of the shadow realm.
And he came back out of the shadow realm and sacked him. Sacked him. Fumble, lost the ball. Jalen needs to realize his skill set right now.
He does.
Maybe he needs to pull it back a little bit and say, hey, maybe I might not be that guy.
You know what? And as long as he's here, Sirianni should be hard on him. He's got to get him to play better. Sirianni this morning, he was on with Joe and John. Let's listen to that. We can react together afterwards. A lot going on the show today, but we wanted to bring this to you. Sirianni this morning, his full interview with Joe DeCameron and John Ritchie.
Let's talk to the head coach of the Eagles 2-2 squad, Nick Sirianni, as he is brought to us today by Bud Light. You can join Ava Graham at Creekside Sports Bar in Limerick for an Eagles pep rally Friday night, October the 11th. So that's prior to the next game after the bye. Win tickets, sign merchandise, and more. And Nick Sirianni with us right now. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning,
what's up,
Nick.
Coach?
So Nick, there's so much to get to here. Let's just start with what we have been hearing the most this week. And that is, I'm going to be very blunt, and that is your job status. So 24-0 hole early, outgained at one point 254 yards to nothing. Are you feeling the heat ratcheting up on your job status?
No, I'm just worried about getting the team better. I'm just worried about the bye week and putting ourselves in position to win, coming out of the bye week. And then I'll be worried about the Cleveland Browns. You can't worry about any of those different things. Right now we're 2-2, got a lot of football in front of us, and just put my head down and work.
Nick, without going into every detail schematically, which I know you can't say publicly, but how do you get the team out of this? I mean, how do you get them to actually play better football?
Yeah, again, it's always going to start with our fundamentals, and we'll work like crazy on that as far as our tackling, as far as our ball security, as far as taking the football away, our blocking, right, catching. Like, it doesn't matter what level of football you're at. Those things determine games, right? And so those will be things that we'll study this week. Anything that we can do better as far as how we practice it, first and foremost as coaches, and then what are the common denominators? That's what you use the bye week for. What are the common denominators of what's going on with each individual thing, so we can narrow in on that even more. And so it starts with that, and then, as coaches, we got to put these guys in positions to make plays, and then, we got to go out and execute. So it's everybody's in this together, coaching, playing. Again, just got to get better throughout this bye week, leaning into this next spot and see what, and dive in more about what our issues are. We got a good idea of what the issues are and what we need to fix. And then it's just, zeroing in on that. Every time you go through a bye week, you figure out a little bit more than you even thought you would. So I'm encouraged to do that here today and tomorrow and the next day. We grinded on that yesterday after the players left. So this will be a busy week for the coaches.
Nick, going back to last December 3rd, the regular and postseason, the team's record is 3-8. How good is this team?
This team's 2-2. I can't focus on what happened last year. That's behind us. We did the things that we needed to do after that season. And this team's 2-2. Saquon Barkley doesn't care that those are,
right,
three, and what I'm saying? Like, and neither does Mekhi Becton and all these new guys. Chauncey doesn't concern these guys. This team's 2-2, and we have things to clean up from the 2024 Eagles. That's all we're focused on. I think what I always try to get the guys to concentrate on is like, okay, we're 2-2 right now. We can't go 5-2 after this next, after the bye week, or 5-2 after this game. You got one game to play. So you can't look too far ahead and say, well, we could, if we win this one and this one, then we'll be sitting at that. You don't do that, right? You know that. And you know that you have to focus on one game at a time. Well, if you're not looking into the future, you can't look back either. Now, you can fix the problems and work on fixing the problems that have occurred, but to say that, in the past of what happened and say, hey, we're this, I think that, that's just not productive. We lost the last game. How are we going to win this next game is all our focus is.
So, Nick, let's talk about Jalen. From the offseason, the hope obviously was with Kellen Moore here, a new or at least better version of Jalen emerges. more effective, more secure with the ball, more precise in decision-making. It does not seem that that is happening. Why is that not happening?
You know, he's definitely had good moments, and as a team, we've had good moments. And as a team, we've had tough moments, right? And so it's just we're just working for consistency as a football team. You know, I know that everything, you know, the first thing that's going to be looked at is myself and Jalen, and rightfully so. You know, we're the head coach and the quarterback, and we completely understand that. But we're just looking for consistency throughout the entire team. You know, myself, Jalen, the team included. So that's what we're focused on, is that. And so, again, we've had good moments as a team. Jalen's had good moments, and we've had not as good moments, right, which has led to the two losses. And that's myself, that's Jalen, that's the entire team. And so, again, I think just the best way to answer your question of what you're asking is consistency, but that's consistency through the entire football team.
How do you safeguard against abandoning the run? How do you make sure to call enough runs moving forward?
Yeah, you know, we are a team that is going to run the football, and we want to run the football. We got a guy in Saquon Barkley who is special at running the football. We got special offensive linemen. I think when you look at their circumstances in each game, I told you guys this, like, we'll do whatever we need to do to win the football game. So if that's run Saquon 50 times, then that's what it is. If it's run him 10 times, that's what it is. In a game, and I'm obviously you're referring to this last game and the carries and the touches that he had. You know, when you go three and out, we went three and out the first three possessions.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching the game in succession, offense, defense. And at one point, we had six plays on offense, and we were down 21-0. Like your game plan changes there, where you have to make some time up to try to get back into the football game, and so down that many possessions, it changes it a little bit, right? Which lets them pin their ears back a little bit. I get that as well, but also, you know, if you look at those first, I think we okay, nine plays within the first. Quarter and a half. Well, in those nine plays, right, you're in third down three of them. So you're doing whatever you got to do. In third and 10, you're probably not running the football. So, you know, you're trying to do what you need to do to continue the drive. You don't say I'm starting with a run every single time. That's just not the way it goes. You know that. And you're trying to get yardage. Like you're trying to get, you know, if you're in second and 10, you might have to pass it again if you pass it on first down. And so the carries are got a little bit, like we want, there's no secret, we want to give Saquon the football a lot. He's shown that he's a great football player in this league for a long time. He's had some great moments here as an Eagle, and we want to give him the football. The way the game went, limited his touches a little bit this last game because we didn't play good enough offense, defensively, or special teams-wise. And that you got to look at me first and foremost when something like that happens. So the plan is to get him the football because he's a heck of a football player, and we know that when we do that, we'll be able to, you know, have a lot of good moments.
Nick Sirianni with us, as he is every Tuesday here on WIP at this time. Nick, let's talk about a situation. Look, I've been doing this for 25 years in sports talk radio. I've never asked this to a coach, but I'm going to go there here. I think it's warranted. Do you think one of your players, Devin White, wants to be cut? I mean, let me put it another way. Sunday, his activity on social media struck me as a player trying to force your hand for the organization to cut him. Do you think that's what he's doing?
You know, Devin has been a great teammate here since the moment he's got here. And I really respect Devin for that because not only has he been a great teammate when he's working with the ones in training camp, but he's also been a great teammate when, you know, the things haven't went his way. I really admire that on Devin, is because he hasn't changed who he is. He still works hard to for the team, different role of what he, you know, what he has to do on a week to week basis. And I'm telling you, I really admire the things that he's done to, you know, and just how professional he's been. You know, don't know much about the what you're referring to. I mean, I've gotten a little nugget on that, but like, haven't really looked into it much, just trying to fix some other things on this football team. But I just know, like, again, only thing you can judge is your experiences with people and his experiences in this building. And I can't say enough good things about Devin White, the person. I really can't, because you got to put yourself in his situation. He's been a good player in this league for a while, and you know it's not going the way he wanted it. But he's still showing up every single day, still being a great teammate, still working hard, still getting ready to play each and every week. And I admire that about him.
Nick, you know, obviously the main thing is how you guys perform in the field. Everyone knows that. There's also the connectivity to the city, which is, you know, a part of an organization. Something like Darius Slay, and, you know, he goes to Twitter Sunday after the game praising his career. I mean, you guys just got blown out, basically, and he's going to his Twitter to praise his career. I mean, do you talk to him and say, like, dude, not the time and place? Like, what? Not now.
Well, first and foremost, his career has been incredible. He's had an incredible career. I think what we have to do as players, as coaches, is you have to be able to block out noise, because, you know, noise is going to be there. When you don't perform well on the field, there's going to be noise. And who are you really trying? What you're trying to do is do everything you can do to win the football game, do everything you can do to please, you know, to be a good teammate, to be a good, you know, in the locker room and everything like that. Slay is one of the best teammates on this team. Like, there's a reason why he's been voted a captain here, because he's a great, great, great teammate. And I think we can all have moments of, hey, you just lost a game. You're taking some criticism and be upset about it. That's why it's so important that you block it out. You block out the criticism. You got to block out the praise as well, because, you know, there was praise last week. So you just got to block it out. And because all that matters is that we're getting better. And we love our fans. We love everything that they bring to this team. But at times you just got to block out. You got to block out and put your head down and just work. But again, like I said, for Slay, there's not a better teammate on this team. And, you know, and he has had a phenomenal career. You know, again, we got to do what we got to do to make sure that we have a clear mindset, so we're operating at a high level and not be affected by outside noise.
There was Sirianni this morning with Joe and John Hugh. I thought that was a strong interview from those guys. I mean, they asked him.
Yeah, he asked some tough questions, man.
You got to ask him. I mean, so we had played before and we talked about his response to his job status. Does he feel the heat? He moved off that and said, I'm just focused on winning the game. But Hugh, I thought the questions about Devin White and about Darius Slay were fair questions. I mean, I thought Joe had a really strong question. Do you think Devin White's trying to get cut? I mean, Devin White, you know, if you missed it the other day, he said it was an accidental thing, whatever. He retweeted or said he wanted to like a post about Lavonte David sacking and strip sacking Jalen Hurts. It's one of those things you're like, why did you do that? I mean, yeah. I get why Joe asked the question.
Yeah, it's – and the only thing that I could offer is that it's a different era. It's a different time. I can't imagine. I saw a tweet this morning where Trey said, basically, I couldn't imagine me or seeing Bobby, Al Harris, Bobby Taylor, and all those guys, Troy Vincent, talking on a podcast to the ops, because that's what the kid called them, the ops, about the play of Brian Dawkins. You just never do that, even in a joking, playful way. There's certain lines that I feel that should not be crossed. I don't care where you've been. If you were a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, you won a Super Bowl with those guys. You're an Eagle now. And you have to respect the teammates that you have. And a lot of times, I don't think kids think about stuff like that.
Yeah, I
think they're in the moment. And they get excited and not think about what potentially the backlash is.
So I think you're right on that. I don't know if it was purposeful. But I always think, like, we're speaking about podcasts, social media, YouTube, excuse me, all that stuff. Hugh, it could be private. Like, if Devin White has a relationship with Lavonte David, they're friends, right? He said that he's one of his best friends, right? His former teammate. No one would know if he texted Lavonte David in that moment, right? And said, great play, man. I'm happy for your success. No one would know. It's a private thing. He did it on a social media platform. Sometimes I think we give these guys the benefit of that, like, they didn't mean it. Well, but, like, you got to be aware of how it looks, right? It looks bad.
I think to a certain extent you are, but you don't care.
Well, that's
a lot of times I think that kids, all publicity is publicity at this point. I honestly think that Darius Slay knew to a certain extent what he was doing because that's your teammate. The unfortunate thing about it is this. You got to go in the locker room with him.
I know. You do. And it's one of those things where it's all part of the what we got going on here with the Eagles team. 215.
He might put his hands on you.
592-9494. Well, if that report comes out, this ship is taking on water. All right. Ross Tucker will join us at 12:45. We'll get to what happened yesterday in baseball. And starting today, the playoffs. Who do we want? The Mets or the Brewers starting on Saturday? And someone on this show has a personal history with Bill Belichick. Hugh's going to share his experience with Bill next. I want Sirianni out, Belichick in. Agree, disagree. Midday show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.